Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, November 26, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 60, the third paragraph, being convinced through one paragraph ending, just what do we do? And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Readers of the text today are the 12 Steps, Leland P., 12 Traditions, Jan L. Readers of the text will be Alex K., Wendy M., and Sherry Z. The reference number for Monday, November 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,941. That's 21941. And for this morning, Tuesday, November 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,943. That's 21943. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting and for this entire month of November. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Leland P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, Leland P. from Berlin, Germany, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service in November.
Thank you so much, Leland P. from Germany. And now ask Jan L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Jan L. from Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, films, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. It's an honor to do service, and thank you, Dawn, and everyone for your service. Pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Jan L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we're resuming our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 60, the third paragraph, being convinced, through one paragraph ending, just what do we do? Commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Alex K. to read and then share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. Being convinced, we were at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? Being convinced for me means I agree with the ABCs in the previous paragraph. I admit I'm a compulsive eater. My life became unmanageable, that no human, me or anyone else, can relieve my compulsive eating, and that my higher power, HP, I call for short, HP, can restore me to sanity and relieve me of my food obsession and compulsion. And I believe all of these without a doubt now, but it took a while for me to get here. For a long time, I still thought that I could figure it out, solve my compulsive eating problem with my thinking and my willpower. I couldn't admit that I was powerless over this disease. I was still fighting it. And when I truly surrendered, admitted that I needed help, that I can't do this alone, that my power alone can never defeat this disease, when I gave up fighting, that opened the way for me to develop a relationship with my higher power. I need a power greater than myself, and it needs to be a loving, compassionate higher power who wants only the best for me. When I believe my higher power cares about me, and I do, then it's easier to trust and let go and turn my will and my life over to the care of this loving power. Not that it's always easy. I'm human, and I have self-will and defects that get in the way of my connection with my higher power, but I have found that it gets easier with practice to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. And the more I do it, the more I see positive results. I see how much better my life goes and how much more peaceful I feel. The more time and attention I put into nurturing my relationship, my higher power, the closer I feel to my higher power, and more clearly I can see the vastness of my higher power's love for me, and then I feel more safe and protected and more willing and even eager to turn my will and my life over, because I know my higher power has only good in store for me. And my step three, I'm saying I'm ready to follow your way, higher power, and to cooperate, give up my will. My want becomes, what do you want, higher power? I know you'll guide me to what's best and fill my hands with wonderful gifts if I just let go and unclench my fists. Whether it's a fear or trying to control something, I can turn it all over to my higher power and be relieved of that burden. It's very freeing and shifts my energy back to my higher power, where it belongs. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. Great way to get us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. And we ask especially that you keep the topic of your share focused on the contents of the paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Carrie in Southern California.
Carrie?
Sherry.
Sherry?
Yeah, Sherry Z.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Sherry.
Ian F.
Ian F. Okay, who else would like to share?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Carly B. from Michigan.
Carly B.
Deb E. in Israel. And could you remind me the page number?
Sure. We're on page 60, the third paragraph, being convinced through the one paragraph ending, just what do we do?
Thank you.
All right. This is a great lineup. I have Sherry Z, Ian F, Wendy M, Carly V, and Deb E. So Sherry Z, please go ahead and get us started.
Good morning, Dawn, and all the visionaries, and good afternoon and good evening. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California, and I was 100% convinced when I came to Vision. It had been 32 years of me trying to control and figure out what is the way, what is the way. And I've spent 3 years in Vision, and I have felt such freedom. And now I'm facing a medical challenge, and I'm not convinced. I'm fighting God every day because I'm so uncomfortable. And so I realized I'm convinced when things are going my way. But when things are not going my way, I have to dig deeper into surrender. And my disease is like isolate, go away, just ignore, just you're bad. It goes right back into it. But what I have to do is remind myself, as my sponsor says, this is a teaching moment. God is teaching me. And what am I supposed to learn? And I hear my head say, I don't want to have medical challenges. I'm fine. And I don't want to learn. But that's not surrender. Surrender is convinced that I am a compulsive overeater, and God could and would, if he were sought, restore me to sanity, is the only option I have today. So thank you all for listening. And I just want to say, I didn't want to go first, and I heard God say your name. That's surrender. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Ian F., it's your turn, followed by Wendy M.
Thank you, ENF compulsive overeater in Indiana. Thanks for everyone doing service. This is a really short paragraph, and I think it's hilarious and awesome how long we can spend talking about just a couple of sentences on these meetings. But it really strikes me, this concept. And that's a question that always needs to be asked about any of the steps. It's like, what does this mean? And step three, you know, it sounds really ambiguous. Turn my will in my life. Like, will, okay, yeah. I don't always get what I want. Cool. My life, what does that look like? And to me, step three, the first part of it is just that the 12 steps are a way of life. And what step three is, what the faith is to me, is living that way of life to the best of my ability and trusting that regardless of what situation I'm in, I'm going to be okay because I'm doing. And it doesn't, as has been said, like, it doesn't always mean that things are going my way. And it may feel that way for a really long time. And the faith is still doing the work anyway. And that's what we do, is we keep doing the work and we keep returning to it. And the faith is an actionable thing. It's not like we let go and then we're like waiting for something to happen. You know, like that kid on The Incredibles. Something amazing, I guess. No, we have a thing that we can do. We have things that we can do. And the faith is entrusting that it's going to be okay as a result. Maybe not on our timeline, but it will be. That's what I got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Wendy M., it's your turn to share, followed by Carly V.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Always, Don, lovely to hear your voice, and thank you for your service, and everybody on the line, all the shares. So here's what I heard about step three. And I want to first say, we take step three constantly, right? You weigh and measure your food, and you're gonna go with God's will on that one, right? Not Wendy's will. So we practice step three all the time. Somebody said, it's like the belief in God is watching Evel Knievel, ride over the Grand Canyon, make it all the way over to the Grand Canyon. And step three is getting on the bike with Evel Knievel and then riding over the Grand Canyon. And that's truly what this is, you know, and it's all about action. We take an action, and for me, God always shows up. This is so teeny, but I'm going to the airport in a few minutes with my son, and I want to take an Uber, and he wants to, you know, to drive. And it's like, what would happen if you just drove, Wendy? What would happen if you just did what your son wanted? Like, will I be okay? It's just like the food. Weigh and measure that food. Will I be okay? Will it be enough? You know, I'm going on a trip. You know, will the food be enough? Will I be okay? You know, and all we have to do is literally turn to God. It's always going to be God's will. Here's the thing, though. Here's the recovery, is that you begin to know what God's will is, right? The way I speak to my son, the way I speak to all of you. Is this God's will or am I in Wendy's will, right? And that is the miracle, that we begin to get, oh, yes. You know, you do the right thing. Somebody's gossiping in front of you and you hold back. You don't participate. What is the feeling I get when I go to God? That is a step three moment. I'm not going to participate. What does that feel like? It feels fabulous. It feels esteemable, right? Or I talked to a sponsee yesterday, and God just gives me all the words I need to say. All I need to do is pick up the phone and take the call, instead of not taking the call. And then I get God. Constantly. We constantly get God when we take step three. When we say, you know what? I don't know what's on the other end here, but I'm going to do the right thing. And how do I know it's the right thing? Because God is teaching us, right? It feels right in my body. I always say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. Even just going to the airport and smiling at someone or telling the TCA person, thank you so much, and smile, and I appreciate your service. It changes me. That's how God makes that possible. Just like if we're self-centered and self-seeking, it kills us. God makes that possible. So all we have to do is take the action, get on that bike. I know that seems scary, you know, with Evel Knievel, just get on the bike. Trust God. And the more we trust God and take these actions, the better we feel, and the more we're going to do that action, the more I'm going to take step three. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Carly V., it's your turn, followed by Deb E., and then I'll be taking some more names. And just a quick reminder, we are on page 60, talking about the third paragraph, being convinced through one paragraph ending, just what do we do? Carly V., please share with us.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks so much for your service this morning and everyone else helping today. I'm Carly V. from Michigan. I'm a compulsive overeater, losing my voice a bit, but hopefully I'm understandable. So step three, I was really struggling with this when I had about 7 months of clean abstinence, and that is, I believe, what led to me losing my recovery. Was I had this decision to make about related to my son and school, and I just couldn't let go of the decision. I wanted to make the perfect decision. I was trying to give it to God, but I wasn't giving it to God. I wanted like a crystal ball. And I ultimately learned from that I think I should have just made a decision and then trusted that God would be there to guide me with whatever happened with the decision, you know, but it really, I was really obsessive about the decision and just in so much fear. So this time I'm going through the steps again after the relapse. And when I got to step three, I was just really scared about it because I knew how much I had been struggling with step three before with the decision that had led to my relapse. And I'm just like, I don't know how to do this. And I made these calls and one person just said something that I had forgotten, which was, you know, it's just making a decision at this point. And then you go and do the rest of the steps 4 through 12. And that's when the magic happens. Like that's when you're, how you learn and you're put in a position and higher power helps you to turn your life and your will to God. Like you can't, when you just start step three, you're just making a decision. You don't know how to do that yet. You're not in a place to do that yet. And so that gave me some hope hearing that. And I'm on step four now, 4 and 5 kind of. And I have to say, like, I cannot, magic is already happening. Like God is working. Higher power is working because I already feel more like I'm turning my life and my will over. I already feel more peace. I had so much anxiety starting the steps, you know, this time around and even in steps 1 and 2. And higher power is showing me ways to turn my life and will over. As I talk to people, he's just telling me little things to try, you know, some I've heard before, some is new, but it's just like I'm getting help along the way. And I'm starting the step 4 and 5 process. And I cannot believe how many false beliefs I have at this point. Or maybe I can believe it, but I can't believe it's helpful to start to talk about it and to be putting it down on paper. And it just makes it more real and gives me so much hope to learning the truth with it. And I've already experiencing that transformation with the ones that I've done so far. And I just feel lighter and I feel higher power in my life. And so I just wanted to say that it's a true miracle that's already happening for me. And it came about from just going forward with the steps, you know, and is continuing to go about. So thank you so much for allowing me to share this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Carly V. from Michigan. Deb E., it's your turn to share.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I love step three. I didn't always love it. I really didn't like, you know, having to surrender. I think at first it didn't really occur to me, and I feel like I share about this a lot, like exactly what surrender meant. I was able to accept it in the way I understood it in the beginning, which was not complete surrender. And then when I kind of finally got it and the light bulb went off and or the light bulb turned on, and I was like, wait a second, if I completely surrendered to my higher power, that means I need to be willing to do whatever my higher power sends my way and be okay with it. I don't have to be happy with it. But I need to accept it and do it and follow that course of action. And having that understanding, like coming to that realization that I wasn't going to be in charge anymore. Not that I ever really was in charge, but I thought I was in charge, right? And like, I thought I was controlling everything. I thought I was in charge. It was hard, you know, I didn't let go of it easily. But then once I did, it became this sense of relief. And it's like, oh, somebody else is in charge. Not only somebody else, somebody who can do anything. Somebody who can perform magic. That's how I look at it with my power. It's like my power can perform magic, can make things happen that seem impossible and that for me as a human are impossible. And I was just looking up the definition for being convinced. I used to think it was such a useless exercise to look up words when taught, you know, studying the big book and everything, and my sub-study that I've been in for years has trained me in them, and I really like it now because there's always something very interesting I find in the definition. And so what I found here is firm in one's belief with regard to a particular cause or issue, or the meaning of convince is to bring, as by argument, to believe, consent, or a course of action. I really had to be convinced that this was the way to go in order to change, in order to really turn my will over. And it's something, you know, I take step three every single morning, but it doesn't last for the day. You know, I need to keep like reminding myself throughout the day, and I'll forget and I'll try to get into my will, and then I'll catch myself and go, oh, you know, I'm just in my will. I'm not really turning this over. I'm not really surrendering. And how can I surrender? And whenever I don't want to surrender, it's really just fear. And so, thank you. I'll wrap up with this. The only thing that really helps me with fear is when I can really like connect with the belief that I have. Sometimes I'll lose it, but that I ultimately have this belief that my higher power knows what's best for me. And if I can connect to that, then I can really surrender, and that will really pass with that.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. And now I'll take a list of names of people who would like to share. Please keep the topic of your share focused on this paragraph. We're talking about page 60, that third paragraph, being convinced, through one paragraph ending, just what do we do? Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
And
Beth V.
Was that Ann M?
Yes.
Jackie.
Beth B. Who's the
Marilyn
V?
Marilyn K. from Oregon.
Beth C. from Pennsylvania.
Beth C. from Pennsylvania?
No, V as in Victor.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Marilyn
I have
K. from Oregon.
Okay. Marilyn K. Oregon.
Jackie D. from Georgia.
Jackie D. Georgia.
Pat G. from California.
Pat G. California. Okay, I have Ann M., Beth V., Marilyn K., Jackie D., and Pat G. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with that beautiful lineup. Ann M., please go ahead and get us started, followed by Beth.
Thank you so much. Ann M., Washington State. Just a quick thought that I wanted to share, and that is a little while ago, while I was working the steps, and I just go through 1 to 12, and then if I, you know, when I finish, I just go back to 1 again, and just whatever the problem du jour is, and it occurred to me that I need to see that I can turn my will and my life over on every single little problem that I have in the moment. And I don't know why I didn't get that years and years ago when I was when I came in. But it's an enlightening thing to see that it's so easy just to be willing. I mean, so easy to try to remember to be willing. But to do it, and then to, it is two steps, to, you know, every part of the steps, that I need to do that for my thoughts about anything, about my fears of today, whatever, and my resentments. So I can do that if I keep writing on this and keep in touch with people and the program and the literature. And I thank everyone in this group and all over the world, and I write that in the morning. So thank you. Appreciate it. That's all.
Thank you, Ann M. from Washington. Beth V., it's your turn, followed by Marilyn K.
Thank you so much. My name is Beth V. I'm a grateful, recovering compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. The lines, just what do they mean by that, and just what do we do, jumped out at me. And, of course, I've heard those two words become convinced many times this morning as I listened. And so I have to be absolutely positive of the three ABCs that describe an alcoholic in the previous paragraph first. And then I need to begin engaging in the action of surrendering myself over to this power greater than myself, this authority. And it helps me to think of it that way. Turning myself in, because there is no human way for me or any other person who can take this addiction away from me. Only a higher power who I have to seek every day. And throughout every day, I have to say, here I am, God. I give up. Please tell me and show me what I should do next, what I should think next. What is the next right thing for me today? And then I have to sit quietly and pause and wait for the power to reach me and to infiltrate my head and my heart to rest in this power. And I need to be shown what my higher powers will is for me today, right now, right this minute. And then I have to keep doing that. So I think if I do these things in the morning when I wake, then I have a chance of honestly doing this program of action fearlessly and following my food plan just for today and doing some taking some action rather than just talking about taking action, showing up for real and being of service instead of what I'd rather do, which is isolate, not share, not make phone calls, and hide away. And that is the disease. That is not recovery. For me, recovery is work, action, and discipline. And so I'm very grateful to everyone I've heard earlier today, many people who motivated me to share today and to actually put myself in the arena of this wonderful meeting. And with that, I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Beth V. from Pennsylvania. We're certainly glad you took the risk and shared. Marilyn K., it's your turn, followed by Jackie D.
I'm Marilyn. I'm a recovering compulsive eater from Oregon, and I listen very often to Vision for You and when I'm doing other activities in the morning, like taking my dog out, etc. But I don't sit and just listen, and I decided today that I needed to do that, and I felt like my higher power was telling me to do that. I had cataract surgery on both eyes a couple of days ago, and I had been forced to just sit and listen and not exercise as much as I usually do. And but this paragraph means a lot to me in how I try to live my life. I can remember about 8 years ago, I would compulsively eat in the evening. I'd do okay the rest of the time. I remember being at step one and went into my bedroom and got on my knees and just said, God, I can't do it, and I know you can do it. And God has helped me all that time and each day. And what I've been trying to work on, and I'm going to try to do it more today, is to prayer. I usually look out my window and I'll say, for all that's been, thank you. And really thank, and I get one of the things I thank for is this meeting, listening to it, and other people, the hope that they give me, and also the ways that God has shown me. And then I say, I seek to surrender and trust in me. Show me your way. And I do need to pause because I seem like I get in a hurry and I want an answer right away. But if I do pause and take the time, usually something will happen. Often it'll happen that I need to make a phone call or there's somebody I'm concerned about and I need to send them a text and to get out of my way and try to open myself to God's way. And I want to, on this Thanksgiving week, to thank everybody who gives a lot of service to Vision for You, and for us that are quieter people and don't do as much service. I appreciate all that you do, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Marilyn K. from Oregon. Jackie D., it's your turn to share, followed by Pat G.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jackie D., as in Delightful, from Georgia. Thank you all for being here for me this morning. Thank you for being here for me every single morning. Being convinced you are a step for me that we decided to turn our women of our lives to God to minister Him. I was convinced that I needed to turn my food over to my higher power. I was convinced that I couldn't do it on my own. But I really had a hard time being convinced that I had to turn everything over to my higher power. The one thing that I held on to and just kept holding me back was the fact that I wanted to control my finances. I wanted to be the one that dictated how much money I made, that dictated where I worked. And I realized one day as I was sitting in my car, bawling my eyes out because I was just couldn't figure out how I was going to make ends meet. I made an outreach call, did attempts, did everything I possibly could do to help me out. And I just remember sitting in my car crying, and finally just releasing and saying, God, I need you. God, who is my higher power, I need you to help me through this. I need you. I just don't know what else to do. I turn this over to you. And that was over 2 years ago. And ever since then, I've had a calming presence about me whenever I start feeling fear about finances. I've had this higher power, my God, that tells me, Jackie, I got this. I haven't let you down, and I'm not going to let you down. You do the footwork, I'll make it happen. And so every day I go out there and I work. Every day I go out there and I say, God, you got this. I don't know how much money I'm going to make today, but I know I'm going to make some money, and I thank you for that. And so I'm so fortunate, I believe, and I'm so grateful to be convinced that I have a higher power and to turn my will and my life over to my higher power, whom I call God, because my life, my adventures in life, everything that happens in life is good. And I'm grateful for it being good. Every day is not perfect. Every moment is not perfect. Every situation is not perfect. But I know I have a higher power that's going to help me through it regardless of the situation. And I feel so grateful. And I feel grateful for this program because this program is what brought me to that realization. The steps is what brought me to the realization. The big book, you know, praying, meditating, journaling, all the steps, the tools of the program has brought me to this realization that I have a higher power who loves me and will take care of me regardless of the situation. So I thank you all for listening to me. Thank you all for your shares. Thank you all for your service. And I hope you all have a wonderful, abstinent Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time. Happy holidays. Love you all. Thank you. Bye. Oh, I passed. Sorry. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Jackie D. from Georgia. Before Pat shares, just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 60, that third paragraph, starting with being convinced through the end of the paragraph, just what do we do? We're commenting on this one paragraph today. So Pat G., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take a couple more names.
Pat G. from California. And this is a really short paragraph, but it's really impacted with a lot. It talks about when it says being convinced, we were at step three. Being convinced because we have been through Bill's story, the doctor's opinion, which tells us about our disease, that it centers in our head, and when we take something, it kicks off that allergy. and Bill's story, and there's a solution, more about alcoholism, who wants to admit complete defeat and all of that kind of stuff, and who wants to admit they are a compulsive overeater. More about alcohol, we agnostics, which really changes our focus and lets us know that we need an open mind about who God is and God. And then when we come to how it works, then that's when we are convinced that we are, let me find it in my book. That's when we're being convinced, because we've been through all this other stuff which gave us a different way of thinking, a different way of acting, and swiped away all our prejudices about God and all of those things. And then that's when we're convinced, and I'm at step three now, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. That's really important, as I understand him, not as you understand him or as he or she understands God, but as I understand God. And then it says, just what do we do? Just what do we do? And then it'll go on later on to tell us that we just have to stop playing God. God is everything or he's nothing. And I like this because it just refers me back through the whole first portion of the book, not just that step one, that I admitted I was a compulsive overeater and my life was unmanageable. That's that first part of the book that's telling me about step one. Probably no human power probably no human power could have relieved our compulsive overeating. More about that's we agnostics. God could and would if he was sought. We agnostics. All of that, there's a solution. So after all of that, I am convinced. Being convinced, they have convinced me. Anyway, that's it for me. My name is Pat G, and I'm a compulsive overeater in California. Thanks for letting me share. And with that, I pass. And thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, Pat G, for sharing. And I'm now going to take a list of a couple names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Pam C., Arizona.
Pam C., Arizona.
Jan, J-A-N.
Oh, perfect. Jan C. in California.
Arizona.
Ah, man.
One of those southern states.
Thank you.
Southwest.
Okay, perfect. And who else would like to share?
IBS.
IBS?
Yes.
IBS. Okay, awesome. Very good. Very good. Jan, go ahead, share with us, please.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Jan C. from Casa Grande, Arizona, and I'm so grateful to be here. A short and wonderful paragraph, and what really strikes out to me is turning my will and my life over to God as I understand him. And I understand that my God is a loving God who loves me absolutely unconditionally, and that there's nothing I can do to thwart his love or to earn his love. And so what do I do then about that? What am I supposed to do? Well, I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And the only way that I know I can stay in this recovery is to turn every single thing over to my higher power, to my God. And then I also need to work the steps on a daily basis. I need to use the tools, go to meetings. There's so much to learn. I think that God sometimes just nudges me directly, very often, but often nudges me through what the rest of you say. And so I have a huge transition going on now. I'm going to be moving back to Colorado to my family when God sells my house down here. And I have to really leave it up to God. And I'm doing footwork that I think that I'm supposed to do. And the results are entirely up to him. And I am abstinent today. I'm so grateful by the grace of God. So thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Jan C. from Arizona. IVS, it's your turn.
Yes, IBS from California, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Super grateful to be able to share today. I normally start work right when this meeting goes live, so I listen, but I don't usually share. But what a great step to be on in the big book. And I love the big book. You know, getting into recovery in Overeaters Anonymous this most recent time has just given me such love and appreciation. It's like a person. It's like a living document. And the big book, just the relationship, this new relationship I have with the big book. Step three just reminded me of when I first came in and, you know, being convinced that my life run on self-will was not a success. Oh, my goodness. No, it was a wreck, you know, wreckage all around me. And in some ways, it was just easier or simpler to just surrender. Of course, things were not going well. I needed something different. You know, had the gift of desperation to just, yeah, give everything over to the steps, to my sponsor, to working the program. Fast forward, you know, like, you know, there's been many miracles in my life in recovery since then. And, you know, especially during this time, it's easy for me to just kind of fall back into the role of director, you know, because we're hosting this year and, you know, invitations and preparation and all of that. And, you know, it's still applicable. This is still applicable to me. You know, I'm still not the director. And, you know, I may try to arrange the lights and the ballet and the scenery and all that, but I'm still just doing the work of the agents. You know, I'm still just, you know, perhaps proposing, but at the end of the day, I have to open my hand and release all my expectations in this area and continue to do the work, you know, continue to do the work because, you know, it's just a daily reprieve, you know, and it starts in my head and in my perceptions and my expectations. So really grateful to be here, grateful for this meeting and the ability to share and dial in and press star one. So thank you. That's all I have. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, IBS from California. And thank you to everyone who shared. I know it takes a lot of trust to press that star one, a lot of courage, and we just so appreciate the beautiful shares we've had today. So we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, happy to do it. Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.